Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God is good. Amen. Good morning, all. I'll be your server today. Can I start you guys with anything? Sorry, I'm thinking about lunch already. My bad. Anybody break their New Year's resolutions already? Anybody start them? Nobody start them, nothing. You know, I told Lorraine, I said, got to do some exercise. I said, you know, people are calling me fat. They're calling me names. They're saying I'm fat. And she told me, she goes, don't let it anger you. You're bigger than that. All right, I think we should pray. All right. It's all downhill from here, guys. Sorry. All right. Heavenly Father, we give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. And we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing, Lord. I thank you for everyone that's here, Father God, everyone that's listening, anybody that may be watching, Lord. Father God, and I just pray your peace over them, Lord, your love over them, Lord. We just thank you, Father God. We pray freedom, liberty, Lord. And we just thank you, Father God. Move in this place. Continue to move freely as you please. We give you all permission. To you be all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today we're going to read out of Luke chapter 4. Boom. Verse 35 through 40. Are we ready? Good. All right, let's read. Let's get right into this. But Jesus rebuked him, verse 35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see here a great miracle. We're going to see here and talk about a small, only gets like two verses. Let me count, double check. Two, three verses in different, you see this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? And you only get it, you only hear it in like two verses, three verses, two verses. It just gets, sometimes we may be just reading and we just pass by it, right? And we just continue on reading. Right, my brother, he lives up north. It just came to me. It was in my notes. My brother lives up north, and there's a town north of him called Napomo. And that town has one exit. So if you're driving and you pass by that one exit, guess what? You missed the town, right? But these verses, the other, about a week or so ago, I was reading in Matthew, and this story came out. And these two verses came out. And it popped out, right? Punch me in the face, right? I got excited, all these different things you get when the word jumps out and speaks to you. And I'd like to share from these passages. But the story that we were going to focus on is what happens inside Simon's house, it says, or we know him as Peter, right? What happens in his house, right? There's a great miracle that happens in there. But before that, and I kind of started halfway through the story, right? But before that, it tells us that Jesus cast out an unclean spirit. Right? It says that he was teaching in the synagogue, and there was a man who had an unclean spirit of an unclean demon. Right? So there was a man there, and it says that he shows up, and I'll paraphrase, and it says he came in and he cried out with a loud voice, and he told Jesus, "Leave us alone. What do you want with us? Why did you come to destroy us?" They even told him, "We know who you are, the Holy One," right? So we see this unclean spirit, man with an unclean spirit comes up, And when we started reading in verse 35, it says, but Jesus rebuking him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Right? And the demon threw him down in the midst. It says, did not hurt him. Another interpretation says that the man convulsed, right? And the demon left him. Right? He left the man. Now this was something great. We see a spiritual healing here. Right? A man set free, a man that was delivered here. But the Bible tells us in verse 36, it says that they were all amazed. Right? They were all amazed at what just happened. I think we would all be amazed too if we saw that happen in front of our eyes. Right? That is awesome. It's probably what we would say to one another. Right? Maybe not. I don't know if you have other words for it. Right? But it says they were all amazed. And verse 37 tells us, and the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Right? And in Mark's account, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1:28, it says, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. Right? So we see that this happened, this miracle happened, this man was set free, this man was delivered, right? The unclean spirit gone. And the minute that happens, it says his fame started to spread, right? People started to talk about what just happened, right? Something was stirring. There was a buzz. Do we still say that word? A buzz. No? Oh, I'm saying it. There was a buzz in the air, right? People were talking about it. Did you hear about what just happened in the synagogue? This guy came in and, right? He got healed. He got delivered. The news of Jesus was spreading. Right? The news of Jesus was spreading. If we go back, Jesus comes back from the wilderness, from being tempted. He gives his inaugural address, if you will. Right? He reads out of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he reads. And he says, now that scripture has been fulfilled. Right? And then goes on, and here's what's happening now. Right? He goes teaching. They want to kill him, and all these things. They take him to the cliff. I'm giving you guys a fast forward right now. Right? But we get to this point. He's in the synagogue. The man is healed. The man is delivered. The unclean spirit is gone. It's rebuked and it's gone. And something is stirring. The news is spreading. People are hearing about it. And in the same way, that's what we pray for in our families. This is what we pray for in our communities, in our workplaces, our schools. That something be stirring. Right? That people be talking, the news about Jesus starts spreading, right? That people be talking, right? Did you hear what happened in this person's life? Did you hear what happened here? This person used to be like this, and now they're like this, right? And to God be all the glory. But we pray that their hearts be open. We pray that our families' hearts, that they learn of Jesus Christ. We pray of this for this community, this neighborhood. If you're not from this neighborhood, pray for your neighborhood, right? That the news of Jesus Christ start to spread. Right? That as it says in Mark, and immediately his fame spread throughout the region around Galilee. Right? His fame spread. People are aware of what's happening. People are aware of the news of what happened at the synagogue. But now we see, and this is where we're going to kind of focus on a little more. Right? We're going to see what happens. It tells us here in Luke what happens at Simon's house. And as we said, this is Peter, so I might be saying both, sorry. But this is the event of what happens at Peter's house. I wanted to just show you a little bit, setting up the scene of what's happening before. You guys ready? You guys caught that? I'll start all over. You guys got it? Okay, move on. But we get to verse 38. And it says, now he arose from the synagogue, and he entered Simon's house. He entered the house, and I want to point out three things that happened in these two verses. Right? Yes, it's possible to get three out of two verses, okay? It is possible, trust me. We're going to see it. But number one, right, we see the first thing that happens here is he enters into Simon's house. He enters into Peter's house. This is after what happened with this man with the unclean spirit. Now we see they're going, right? He's teaching in the synagogue. He heals this man, and now they're on their way, and this man's house is open for Jesus, right? They entered into a house. When I was a kid, you guys ready? Story time. When I was a kid, there used to be something that used to happen. Okay, this is way back in the 1900s. When I was a kid, there used to be on a random day, right? There used to be relatives, uncles, cousins. They would just stop by and pop in your house, right? They would just show up, right? They would show up. They would show up unannounced, right? They would show up, right? And I remember as a kid, everybody would be happy, right? Everybody would be happy that they showed up, because sometimes my uncle would show up and he had his cousins. And he had his kids and they were my cousins, and we'd go and we'd play and they'd spend hours, right? And we'd be talking and playing and all this stuff, right? That used to happen before. And I remember, you know, my mom would be like, she would have a line. She would have a line. And there's a, it's more famous in Spanish, but I'll try to interpret, right? You came just in time, right? Those of you who know Spanish, she would say, llegaste a la hora. You came at the right time, she would say, right? And she would say, because we're about to eat. We just finished dinner, right? But she would say, oh, you guys came just in time. And what would she do? She starts setting the table. We're like, we're going to sit down again, right? And she would start feeding, right? She used to love to do that, right? But she would start feeding them, and they'd have a big old dinner, and they'd talk for hours, and they'd go. And that was back then, right? It was called having company, right? They would come over, and it was a great time, and it was a great, great moment, right? Many memories from that. Nowadays, right? Nowadays, showing up unannounced, you better watch out, right? You come to our, if I'm sitting down, game's about to start, right? Sat down, I even kicked off my shoes, right? And all of a sudden a car pulls up the driveway, right? What happens there? Yay, no. Like, what? Who is this person coming up here? Right? Hurry up, Robert, close the blinds, close the door, turn off the porch light, right? No, no, right? Oh, wait, is Johnny coming in? Right? Nowadays, I remember as a kid, that was like a great moment. My uncle would come up from nowhere, and then sometimes we would go, right? I don't think my dad ever announced, hey, we're on our way, we're going to go visit. We just would show up at somebody's house, and we'd have a great time, right? Now, hey, email me first. Let's check my schedule and all that stuff, right? But my mom would have that saying, you just came at the right time, right? You just showed up, perfect timing. We're about to eat, right? It's 10 o'clock at night, right? Oh, we're about to have dinner at the right time. And they would come and they would visit. And like I said, there's some good memories there, right? And we know with Jesus, he came to Peter's house, right? And we know with Jesus, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here. Let me look. Yeah, preaching to the choir here, right? We know with Jesus, he doesn't want to just visit, right? He doesn't just want to stop by. What was the line they would use before? I was in the neighborhood. You guys ever heard that line? No, because it doesn't happen anymore, right? I was in the neighborhood, so I wanted to check on whatever, right? I was in the area. But she would say, we came at the right time. And Jesus, we know, doesn't just want to come in for a visit. Revelation 3:20 tells us that, behold, I stand at the door and what? And knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And we know that with Jesus, he's not going to force his way in. He's not just going to come in and kick the door in. He says he's going to knock, right? He's gonna knock, and he's waiting for our invitation. What is he waiting for? For us to say, come on in. He's waiting for us to say, you came at just the right time. Right? You came at just the right time. You're knocking at the door. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in and dine with them. Right? Talks about dining with them. What do we do at the dinner table sometimes? We talk, right? We get to know each other, right? Sometimes you go out with another family, another person, and you sit at the table, and what are you doing? You're getting to know each other. You're talking. They're telling you their stories. You're telling them them back and forth. We know about this, right? And this is the picture of Jesus wanting to have that relationship with us. I want to dine with you. I want to spend time with you, right? But first, what must we do? We need to open that door, right? We need to make sure that that door is open to him. That we may say, come on in. That we may say you came at the right time. And the question for us, even us that we've invited him in, how much access does he have in our home, right? Sometimes we let somebody in, right? We let them in, and maybe just sit right here on the couch. Stay there. Don't go from there. You're not allowed past this wall. You're not allowed past this room, right? Depending on different people, some people have different access, right? Some people just stay right there by the door. Just stand there. Don't be seated, right? Different rules, different, right? Depending on who the person is. But we invited him in. Now we ask ourselves, how much access does he really have in my life? How much access does he really have in my home? Right? Is he just in the living room? Jesus, walk him in, just sit here and stay there. Right? Is he just in the living room? Here's a big one. Can he open the fridge? Right? Whew. Right? Maybe some time. Right? Got to work at that one. Right? But can he just walk in and go straight to your fridge and get your soda or get your whatever, a glass of milk? Anybody like milk? Or just me? Glass of milk that you're saving there for a perfect moment. But a lot of us have rooms that are off limits, and even for Jesus. Right? A lot of us, we call it protecting, we're calling whatever we want, we put up a wall, but Jesus is in our home, and a lot of us may not want him to go this way. Don't go down that hallway, Jesus. Stay here, right? Let me show you this over here, right? And we know what Jesus wants is full access. Some of us may even say, but my house, it's messy, right? My house, it's messy. Hurry up. Let's throw everything, all the jackets, right? Let's throw them all into that one room that nobody uses. Throw it all over there, right? I just showed you where that room is for me. It's on this side. At our house, if you go to our house, it seems like every one of us uses a backpack for work, for school. And there's times where you come to the house and you'll see five backpacks laying around in the, right? Somebody's coming. Somebody, well, grab the five backpacks and just throw them. No. Throw them somewhere. Get rid of them. You may say, my house is messy. I can't allow Jesus in, right? I'm ashamed of what I have inside, so I can't open the door for Jesus, right? I can't show him what's in there. I can't reveal to him what I have inside. And he's outside and he's knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking. Some of us even hear the voice, but we still will not open the door, right? And we make excuse after excuse after excuse, reason after reason after reason. But what he wants, as we open the door to our home, right? It's opening our hearts to him and telling him, you may enter. You may enter. And as it says in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Even if there's a mess, if you think there's a mess, and there's backpacks, and there's jackets, and there's shoes, and all these things, right? We're still saying, Jesus, still come on in, right? When somebody shows up unannounced, surprises us, and there might be a little bit of a mess, what's the first thing we say? Sorry for the mess, right? We open the door, oh, come on in, sorry for the mess. You know, Robert and Josh, they don't clean up, right? Just blame them, right? Blame somebody else. Those guys, you know them, they don't clean, right? Even though it's my stuff. But we say, search me, God. Know my heart. Right? Show me the areas. Right? We're praying, Lord, I open the door to you. I invite you that you may dine with me. I'm giving you my heart, my life, my home, that you may help me where I struggle. Because I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. We've heard this before, and I'll say it again. A lot of us want the Savior part, but we don't want the Lord part. Right? I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. If Jesus is standing, Jesus, who is the Lord and Savior of our life, he's standing at the door and knocking. Right? It's like if his son Dina showed up to my house. And I opened the door and I said, hey, Dina, come on in. Assam, stay at the porch, please. You're not welcome here, right? You stay back. Dina, come on. Right, let's have dinner, right? Lord and Savior. We can't just say, I just want Savior. Lord, you stay outside, right? I just want this part. But I don't want to, right? I don't want you to reign over me. I don't want you to have all access. Just help me in my troubles. Just help me where I need it. You be my Lord and Savior, and may you reign in my life. And something happens when we allow, when we open the door, something happens when Jesus enters through that door, when Jesus enters that home. Right? One of my favorite guys in the Bible, and I'm not going to tell you why, is Zacchaeus. Right? You guys figure that out. But it's in Luke 19, and it tells us that he's the chief tax collector, and he's very rich. You guys know the story. He climbs up a tree. He wants to see Jesus. He climbs up a tree. Jesus gets there and he sees him. And what does he tell him? Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, right? For I must stay at your house today. Right? He sees him, says, Zacchaeus, get down. Hurry down. I got to stay at your house today. And the Bible tells him that he hurries down and he receives Jesus joyfully. Right? He receives him joyfully. He didn't stay up on a tree and he said, no, I just wanted to see you, right? I don't know why I yelled there. I just wanted to see you, but keep on going. I'm good. I saw you once, right? I saw you. We're good. Now go. It says he hurried down, and he received them joyfully, right? And at the end of the story, we hear Jesus saying, today salvation has come to this house. Why did that happen? Why does Jesus say, today salvation has come into this house? Because he allowed Jesus to enter into that house. He allowed Jesus, his holiness, who he is, to enter into that home. Right? He opened the door for Jesus. Zacchaeus gave him full access, so much so that it led Zacchaeus to repent. Right? When we encounter the holiness of God and the goodness of God, we realize who we are, which is nothing, and that we need him. Right? And he says, if I've done wrong, right, if I robbed anybody, I'll return it fourfold, right? I'll give to the poor, right? And he repents and he says, Jesus, I'll do this. There was a life-changing moment in his life. Why? Because he opened the door to Jesus and allowed him in. He said, Jesus, here's my mess. I want to make things right. Right? I have this issue, but Jesus, you help me in this area. In Luke, Jesus was welcomed to Peter's home, but there was a mess, if you will. There was an issue there, right? The mother of Peter's wife was in bed with a high fever. And the next thing we see is we're going to see a very good lesson in prayer. You guys want a good lesson in prayer? They told Jesus what's going on, right? He went in the house. And it says they tell Jesus what's going on, right? And still in verse 38, this is a good part. It says, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. Jesus entered the house. He entered through the door, and they said, here's my problem, right? We said, search my heart, Lord, right? Here's the problem. Here's an issue. Here's a mess, whatever it is, right? In this case, she's ill, right? She's ill. Matthew 8:15 says, so he touched her hand and the fever left her, right? One touch. Matthew speaking of his royalty, right? The king, the messianic king, one touch from the king, right? And she was healed. In Mark 1:31, it says, so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Mark paints a picture of the servant that Jesus is. It says they lifted up, right, and helped her up. And then in verse 39, in the book of Luke, and this is the good part. Verse 39 says, so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and then left her. He stood over her, rebuked, and is showing us a picture of his authority, right? Authority over any sickness, any disease, any pain, anything. Jesus is the name above every name. Amen? Jesus is above any name, right? You name it, he's more bigger. So we see the second thing that happens here in this story is that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. In this home, Jesus healed her from the high fever. High fever representing, this is close to death. This is serious, right? It's not just any little fever. Well, I don't think a fever is every little if it's happening to you, right? But this is a high fever, right? This is close to death. This is very bad. So there was a need. There was a need in the home. There was a mess, if you will. There was something that needed help. They needed Jesus' touch. Psalm 46:1 tells us, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. The New Living Translation says, always ready to help in times of trouble. Right? He's our refuge. He's our strength. Right? He's our very help. He's our present help, excuse me. But he's always ready to help in times of trouble. We open the door to the Lord. He comes in. There's an issue. He wants to help us in different areas. We go through different things in life. Jesus brought healing here in this story to Peter's house. He brought salvation to Zacchaeus' house. What can he bring to your house? What is needed in your house? We've invited him into our home. Are we still trying to hide things? Are we still putting up walls? Right? Are we still trying to keep a door closed over here so that nobody goes that way? Right? What are we doing personally in our hearts? Are we saying, Lord, you have it? Right? They just sang a little while ago. Jesus, have it all. Right? Jesus, have it all. It's all yours. Right? Are we still trying to hide things? Is there sin? Is there pain? Is there unforgiveness? Is there fear? Is there hurts? The list goes on and on. What are the things that we're trying to hold on to that we don't want to release, that we don't want to give over to the Lord? Right? He wants to heal us. He wants to help us. He wants us that we not struggle. We've done such a good job of hiding these things from everyone, but they're causing us more pain and they're causing more damage. The longer we keep them, the longer we conceal them, the longer we hide them, they're hurting us. They're hurting us. I'll say it again, they're hurting us. And Jesus wants to come in, right, that you may receive your healing from whatever that area is, right? Everybody may go through different things. Maybe we're trying to hide different things. And Jesus says, I want to set you free. I want you to experience this freedom. Allow me. Allow me. He's not going to force himself, but he stands at the door and he knocks. And if we open that door, he will enter in and dine with us. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for us because he loves us. Right? I like quoting this one a lot. Right? Because this is the only one I've memorized. I like it because tells us and it reminds us, give things to the Lord. Give it over to the Lord. Right? So many times I'll just snitch on myself right now. I want to hide things. I want to conceal them. And the Lord is saying, give them to me. Give them to me. I want to help you in this area. I want you to be set free in this area. And it tells us why? Because I care for you. Why? Because I love you. He loves you. And how do we know that? How do we know that He loves you? How do you know? Pastor Al has been trying to tell us this for the last couple of weeks, for a while, right? He's been trying to tell us for some time now. Are we listening? Are you listening? Are they listening? But He's been telling us. We've been reading out of Romans, right? Romans 8:32. He shared with us what? Sorry, 8:31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? Whereas we learn, since God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8:32, it tells us the answer, as we learned 2 weeks ago, that He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also give us all things? He gives us the answer. How do I know that He loves me? Because He gave His only Son. How do I know that He cares for me? Why should I open that door? Why should I allow that man that's knocking to enter in? Because He died for our sins. Because He loves us. How do we know God loves me? He gave us already the best. Amen? Jesus is the best, and that's who stands at the door and knocks. It's the best we can have. That's who is knocking. Right? We don't have to look through the peephole. We don't have to look. At our house, we put a door. Right? And this is kind of a joke I play for myself, I guess. Because it has a little window at the top. And the window is like at 6 feet. That wasn't very nice. I didn't think this through when we put the door. Because if I want to see who's here, I can't, right? I got to get a little more creative and go through the other room and see this way and see who's at the door, right? But He stands at the door and He knocks. Why would we settle for anything else? What Jesus has is the best for us. Why would we look elsewhere? Why? It's going to hurt us. It's going to cause us pain. It's going to cause us a bunch of trouble, right? Why would we go somewhere else? Open the door and let Him in. Give Him full access. Give Him the keys. Right? Yeah, full access. Do as you please. Right? As He walks through the house, He points out, hey, pick up those backpacks. All right. Pick up those backpacks. Pick up this. Pick up this. He's going to show us. He's going to help us. He wants us to live a life of liberty. He wants us to be free. What happens next after she gets healed? This is the good part. This is that once she gets healed, what happens here is she says, thank you. She gets up and she leaves. She says, I'm out of here. I got my blessing. I got my miracle. That's what I wanted. I'm done. I'm lying. Right? In Matthew 8:15, it tells us that once she's healed, it says, and she arose and served them. Mark 1:31 says, and she served them. And then back in Luke verse 39, it says, and immediately she arose and served them. Immediately she arose and she served them. So point number three, right, or the third thing that happens here, you guys ready for this? She serves. Right? She serves. It says she served them. I didn't share this, but this is during the Sabbath. This is happening in the Sabbath. What's happening? All this is happening in the Sabbath. So she serves them. She gets up. It says immediately she arose and served them. So immediately she got up. She said, you guys came here right at the right time. We're about to eat. Right, so she makes the meal, she prepares the meal, and she serves Jesus and all the disciples, whoever was in that household, right, whoever was in that home, she gets up and she serves them all. Right, she gives them the Sabbath meal, the Sabbath dinner, right, and they all have a meal there. And you got to think, this is a long day, right? Jesus was at the synagogue teaching. They have the encounter with the unclean spirit man. That's what we're calling them, the unclean spirit man. They have the encounter. He's set free. They're coming home. They're coming home from a long day of work. I hope there's a good sandwich at home when I get home. I hope there's this. I hope there's this, the burger. You guys fill in the blank. When I get home, I hope there's, I'm hungry. I want to eat. I'm making you guys hungry now. But they were coming home. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they were hungry. Maybe this was something that she did. Maybe this was her thing. I remember my mom, like I said, she would cook, feed. When we're done eating, she would start preparing the next meal. And then she would feed, and then we would eat, and then she would start preparing the next meal. Like, it just like was nonstop. That was her joy. I can't think of her ever sitting down at the table with us to eat, right? Because she was always serving. She always wanted to eat. She would come with the whatever she had, and she would say, "Are you full?" You would say yes, and she would still put some food in your plate. Even though you said, no, I'm done, and boom, there you go, have some more. That was her joy. Maybe this was something that she loved to do, right? She was the one, when people came into the home, she served. This was her thing. And because of this fever, there was now a roadblock. There was a hindrance. She could no longer function as she used to. She could no longer function normally because this fever stopped her. This fever is about to destroy her. This fever is about to kill her. Right? There's something in her life that is causing pain, and it's inside the house of Peter, and it's a mess, it's an issue, it's a problem, and it's causing hurt, causing damage, leading to death. Right? And she can no longer function how she normally does. So Jesus comes in. They told her, "Hey, my mother-in-law, she's sick." He comes and he stands over her. He rebukes the fever. The fever leaves. And immediately she gets up and she serves them. Maybe she was thinking as they came in, "I would love to help and I would love to get up and serve them. But I have this issue. But I can't right now. I want to do this. I want to serve. I want to go help. I want to be there. But there's something that keeps holding me back. There's something that keeps pulling me back, and I try to take the step forward, and maybe I do take one step forward, but this thing pulls me back, and I take five back. Or this thing pulls me back, and I fall. So now I have to get up, right? I'm struggling with this thing. I would love to serve you." And maybe we're all thinking that, "I would love to," whatever, fill in the blank. "I would love to help. I would love to serve." But here she is restored. And in gratitude, she serves. The Lord set her free. The Lord healed her. The Lord restored her back to the place where she can serve. And out of gratitude, right? Makes you think of the 10 lepers that were healed. One came back and thanked Jesus, right? He had gratitude. He wanted to come and give Jesus praise, honor, glory, thanksgiving, right? The Lord has set us free. Many of us have different things, addictions, right? Whatever it could be, delivered us from bondages, from fears, right? From He healed our bodies physically, spiritually, whatever the case may be, right? And you younger ones, if you say, "Well, maybe not me," well, He saved your parents. He healed your parents so that you may now live in a life of freedom and liberty. So you may now just enter into that place, right? So your struggles may not be as your parents were, right? You now live in this place. You were born in this place of liberty and freedom, right? To experience the joy and the goodness of God. But guess what? Every single person has to give Him access to their hearts. Every single person has to open that door, right? Everyone has to say, "Jesus, be Lord and Savior of my life." Amen? We are all, I'll get it, called to serve the Lord and to serve others. Mark 10:43 tells us, "Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." Verse 45 of Mark 10 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus gave us the perfect example, right? to serve others. Right? I came not to be served, but to serve others. Her healing opened the door for many others to be healed. And we're going to see this. Verse 40. And this is the good part. In verse 40 it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So we see at the beginning, right? This is the beginning. Right? It says that his fame was spreading. Everyone was talking about Jesus because of what he did. What he did to this one person. He comes into the house, right? Call it a regroup. They just came to have their dinner, their meal, right? He heals the mother-in-law. After this miracle, the sun is setting, the Sabbath is over, so now people can carry people, people can do stuff. Guess what? Here they come. Here comes all the neighborhood, right? Here comes all the neighbors. Here comes all your coworkers. Here comes all your classmates. Why? Because they were hearing the words of Jesus. They were hearing the news about Jesus. And guess what? Here comes the moment. Right? The moment, the reason she received her healing for. Right? That she may be part of this plan. Right before this happens and the people come, Peter's mother-in-law played a part in this great miracle. What's about to happen here in verse 40. Why? Because she was able to get up and serve Jesus. Right? Serve. And serve the disciples. Feed them. That he may receive strength physically. Right? Feed them. She played a part. And no matter what our part is, no matter what our part is, no matter what the Lord has called us to do, how to help, whatever it is, right? If we're doing it unto the Lord, it is a great call. If the Lord has called us to do that, that is a very important call. Amen. At work, I used to tell the apprentices, the ones that are starting, I used to say, if I ask you to do this, you may think it is not important, but if I ask you to do this, guess what? That's your most important job, right? Because that is your part. That is your part, and I'm counting on you to do this part, right? Sometimes we have trenches, and we have to close the road, and everybody's thinking, cool, I'm going to get in the trenches, and I'm going to put in all the pipe, I'm going to pull in all the wire, and I'm going to get there down and dirty, and I'm going to do this, and you show up ready to work, and they hand you the stop sign, right? What is it? Go do some road control. Right? And you're the one that has to stand at the end of the trench, right? Stop, come on. Turn around, all right? Come on, right? I wanted to get down and dirty. But guess what? For them to work in that trench safely, they need somebody out there telling cars to stop, telling cars don't go in this trench. There's people in there, right? It's an important job. Not, you don't want it. Maybe you didn't like it. Some people do because I just get to stand there. Depends on the person. But it's an important job. Whatever the Lord has called us to serve in, whatever capacity it is, that's an important call. Amen? Because you're doing it unto the Lord. And it's very important. There was a bunch of people that are about to show up. Right? Person after person after person, line after line after line. Right? This was going to wear them out. This was going to wear them out. They were going to grow tired. Right? A bunch of people, a bunch of chaos. Guess what? The mother-in-law, she just became one more person in that team, right? She serves. Hey, I'm here. I'm willing to serve. What do we need? Do they need food? I'm going to go help in line control. What do you need me to do? Right? I'm ready. Immediately, she got up and she served. Immediately, out of gratitude, she was ready to help out in whatever is needed. The stirring in the city was for a reason, and it was for this moment. The people showed up, and he healed them, right? It says, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Miracle after miracle after miracle was happening, right? And she played a big part in it. She was able to feed our Savior Jesus Christ. She was able to provide him a meal so that this next step can happen. help them out, receive physical strength. And in that same way, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen. So I want to speak life. I want to speak life into this church, this community, into our families. And I want to do it, and I'll call up the worship team. And this is the good part, closing prayer. You know, we've been praying. I know us, we've been praying for years and years, especially over this community, over this neighborhood, believing that God will stir it up, stir us up, right? That something great would happen for Jesus Christ, that he may receive honor and glory. A long time we've been praying for family members, right? That the Lord will stir it up, right? Rekindle or kindle that fire, right? Get something going in their life. That they may surrender completely to Jesus Christ. That they may give Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in the name of Jesus, we pray for our families. Father, we pray for ourselves. Begin with us. That we not forget what you have done for us. That we not forget that you've already given us the best thing. You've already given us your Son, Jesus. May we have that heart of gratitude ready to serve. We thank you that you allow us the opportunity to play a part in your kingdom. Give us the privilege, Lord, to speak into others' lives, to feed those that are hungry. Just as when you fed the multitudes, you allowed the disciples to pass out the food and be a part of that great miracle. Father, may it be our desire to serve you. We thank you, Lord. If you haven't opened the door, he stands at the door and he knocks. That today be the day of salvation. And I pray that you open that door. Open your heart to Jesus. Allow him in. Give him all access. And we pray this morning, as he enters into your home, that he heals those areas that are needed. He strengthens those areas where there's weakness. Those areas where there's trouble, he brings in his peace. He heals the infirmities. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. May our hearts be always to glorify you, Lord. We want to serve you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.